Please do turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we continue through this passage on Christian love. And we're going to look at verse 6 this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, as we confess our sins. I'll read verses 4 through 7 for us. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is God's word. This morning we're looking at verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. That's the phrase that we want to give our attention to right now. And the idea here is more than just rejoicing in sin as if sin is a good thing. Paul's getting at more than just saying sin is good, let's rejoice in it. That's not really the focus of this phrase, though that's certainly included. It deals with something that's actually far more subtle than an open celebration of sin. It deals with something that is subtle in all of our hearts and ways in which we can rejoice in the wrong things. So I want to direct your attention to that this morning. Let me read what Matthew Henry says about these phrases. He gives a good summary for us to help us understand this. First of all, he explains what rejoicing in iniquity is describing. He says, the sins of others are rather the grief of a charitable spirit than its sport or delight. They will touch it to the quick and stir all its compassions, but give it no entertainment. It is the very height of malice to take pleasure in the misery of a fellow creature. And is not falling into sin the greatest calamity that can befall one? How inconsistent it is with Christian charity to rejoice at such a fall. So what Matthew Henry focuses in on is that rejoicing in iniquity is when we take some pleasure, some delight in the fall, the sins of others. And that can happen for a variety of reasons. Maybe it makes us feel better about ourselves. Maybe we wanted something bad to happen to that person. We were unloving and wanting something bad to happen. We thought, well, serves them right. These are the kinds of things that love rejoicing in iniquity is describing. Love not rejoicing in iniquity. But positively, Matthew Henry says, what does it mean to rejoice in the truth? He says, to rejoice in the truth is glad of the success of the gospel, commonly called the truth. It takes no pleasure in sin, but is highly delighted to see others do well. It gives it much satisfaction to see truth and justice prevail among men, innocency cleared, and mutual faith and trust established, and to see piety and true religion flourish. That's what it means to rejoice in the truth. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is taking hold, its power is being extended in the body of Christ, and we see its effects all around us, we rejoice in that. We don't rejoice in iniquity. How unloving that would be. How contrary to the Spirit of Christ that would be. And as I read 1 Corinthians 13, I'm trying to get a sense of what was it that the Corinthians were dealing with that Paul is addressing. Since he made this list in light of the Corinthians, it helps me to get my head around this. And there's a number of hints in 1 Corinthians as to what sort of things the Corinthians might have been rejoicing in iniquity over. Clearly, it was a problem in Corinth that there was some rejoicing in iniquity. And there's a couple of hints. The first one is in chapter 4, where the Corinthians were comparing each other to themselves. They were boasting about how one was better than the other. And that may have been an example of where they were rejoicing in iniquity because it made them look better. It doesn't say that, but that may have been a particular situation where it was tempting to do so. Another example is 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, there's this man committing open sexual immorality. The whole church knows about it. And Paul says, you are proud. Ought you not rather to mourn? There's this sin being committed and they're proud. They're smug about it. Maybe they were smug because it wasn't them that was doing the sin. They looked better. It wasn't them participating. That's possible. But what does Paul say they should have done? They should have mourned. They should have been grieved by the sin that was in their midst. If love does not rejoice in iniquity, then love mourns iniquity. Love is grieved by sin and how it affects those around us. Another example is chapter 6 of the letter. Paul rebukes the Corinthians because some of them were going to the Gentile courts to solve their disputes. Perhaps they were willing to rejoice, even if it meant that injustice prevailed and their case was won. When they take their fellow believers to the courtroom and the courtroom rules in favor of them, even though it may have been wrong, that would have been cause for rejoicing for them. But this all these examples would have been to rejoice in iniquity rather than to rejoice in the truth. Now we can look at these examples in Corinthians and think, that's not us. We're not allowing that kind of open sin to prevail amongst us. We're not taking anybody to the courts. This isn't us. But that's not our response. Instead, we say humbly, how did the sins of the Corinthians manifest themselves amongst us? Where do we see this rejoicing in iniquity? And as I've alluded to, that rejoicing in iniquity can happen for a variety of reasons. The first one is pride. We are proud because we look at others' falls into sin and we think, that isn't me. I'm good. I'm clean of that. But the Bible says, therefore, take heed lest anyone thinks he stands. Take heed lest he fall. Pride is one reason that people would rejoice in iniquity. Another one would be satisfaction at seeing others fall because it makes us look better. We look better when others fall and we don't. A third kind of rejoicing in iniquity is not caring with compassion and love for our brothers and sisters when they fall. We just don't care. We don't care about how sin is damaging them. We do nothing about it. We go hands off. Now, you've probably observed this in children before. You know what it's like when in your home a child is disciplined and the other children can be tempted to be rather smug about the fact that that child is off being disciplined and they are not. It can be a cause of boasting for that child that they're good. So children, it's unloving to rejoice when your brother and sisters are disciplined and you should not be proud because of that. This is to rejoice in iniquity. Instead, the right response when we see iniquity is to mourn, to grieve over those sins. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. What do we mourn? We mourn when we see our brothers and sisters afflicted by this terrible poison of sin and it hurts them. We don't want to see that happen. That is cause for grief. Psalm 119 describes the loving response when we see sin. It says in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of water run down my eyes because men do not keep your law. Rivers of water. Not rejoicing, not making fun, not sporting at what other people are going through when we're not going through it. Rather, grief. Godly grief. Galatians 6:1 describes the spirit of gentleness and compassion that we're to have to those who fall. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you be tempted. You who are spiritual, you come in a spirit of gentleness, you restore, you bind up the wounds, you help your brother in need who is afflicted by sin. Now, the opposite of this, of course, is love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth of God taking root, having this effect upon our brothers and sisters. Now, this reminded me of what Jesus says about the angels in heaven, right? He says, the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. Now, if I'm over here rejoicing in iniquity, and the angels are over here rejoicing over sinners repenting, what does that say about me? Where am I at right now? We pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means we know that whatever takes place in heaven is always done according to God's will, but it's not yet being done fully according to God's will on earth. Well, one of the ways I do God's will on earth as it is in heaven is I rejoice in the truth, as the angels do. That is what I want to rejoice in. So if this is what the angels are rejoicing in, and they're perfectly obeying God's will, then I want to be joining them in rejoicing in that. I do not want to be the man that rejoices in iniquity and is so far removed from the will of God instead of rejoicing in the truth. So we will rejoice when the truth is spoken. We will rejoice when sin is confessed. We will rejoice when relationships are restored. We will rejoice wherever Satan is being crushed before our eyes. Wherever Jesus Christ's saving work is being manifested, we will be overjoyed to see that taking place. This is love in action, brothers and sisters, to rejoice in the truth. And so this morning, as we confess our sins, I encourage you to examine your hearts before the Lord in light of this exhortation. Consider in what ways you either are rejoicing in iniquity, or in what ways we can grow in rejoicing in the truth. Now, as we enter our time of confession, the topic of this exhortation may not be what you need to confess this morning. It might be, but it may be something else. And your conscience will tell you what that is. But I remind you, as you come to this time of confession, you come to a merciful Heavenly Father. And as a merciful Father, you come to Him through Jesus Christ, your mediator. And you can be assured that through Him you have redemption, forgiveness through His blood. And so I remind you of the words of 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's go ahead and pray now. Our Heavenly Father, we come today humbled by this word that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. We confess that because of our lack of love, we have not rejoiced in the right things. Sometimes we should have mourned our own sins and the sins of others, but instead we were proud. We didn't have a right view of ourselves. We confess that we have been unloving by failing to rejoice in the truth. There are so many examples of the truth at work. Oh God, help us to rejoice in those things that the angels rejoice in. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, we ask that you'd grant us this love, a love that rejoices in the right things, a love that mourns sin, and a compassion for those who have fallen into sin, so that each of us would learn to gently restore one another. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.